Let's read together Isaiah chapter 6. In this well-known chapter, Isaiah has a vision of the holiness of God, and he is commissioned by God to be a prophet to the rebellious people of Israel. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above the Lord's throne stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Isaiah chapter 6, with some background notes. We see from verse 1 that Isaiah had this awesome vision of the majesty and holiness of God in the year that King Uzziah died. That year was 740 BC. King Uzziah was one of the good kings of Judah, but he made one big mistake in his reign as king. Uzziah was a good king, but he was not content with just being king. He wanted a role that God had not given him, the role of a priest. Azariah the high priest and 80 priests of the Lord tried to restrain Uzziah from burning incense, which was a function only for the consecrated priests. But Uzziah got angry and would not listen, and so God had to strike Uzziah down with leprosy. So Uzziah became a leper and had to be quarantined and cut off from the house of the Lord until the day of his death. How sad. What a lesson for us. Let's be content with the role and spiritual gifts that the Lord has given us and not try to steal someone else's role or use someone else's gifts. Let me ask you, are you content to be a man or a woman as God made you? And are you satisfied with the gifts and talents that he's given you? Or are you dissatisfied? Don't make the same mistake that Uzziah made, and because of pride and discontent, have to experience the heavy hand of the Lord's discipline. Now, in contrast to the proud and sinful Uzziah, Isaiah was humble and very conscious of his sinful condition, as we see here in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. "So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips.'" And Isaiah was given a vision of the majesty and holiness of God, something that Uzziah probably wanted, but did not attain. Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the majesty of the Lord filling the temple, not just concentrated between the cherubim of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, but filling the whole temple. In the vision, Isaiah also saw a number of seraphim, we're not told how many, standing and hovering above the Lord's throne. Seraphim are a class of angels occupied with the holiness of God. We read that the seraphim had six wings. Four were used for covering face and feet, emphasizing reverence in the presence of God. The seraphim called out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, this threefold repetition of holy is not proof of the Trinity, but certainly paves the way for the doctrine of the Trinity to be fully developed and fully revealed later. The same is true of verse 8, where the Lord says, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" The plural "us" does not prove the Trinity, but certainly helps lay the foundation for the full revelation of the doctrine of the Trinity to come in the New Testament. The thrice repeated "holy, holy, holy" emphasizes to the highest degree the holiness of God. The average person does not realize nor appreciate the awesome holiness of God. If they did, it would lead them to salvation. And that brings us to our first doctrinal point for Isaiah chapter 6. Doctrinal point number one, Salvation should follow a realization of God's holiness. Salvation should follow a realization of God's holiness. Verses 5 through 7. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Notice Isaiah's reaction and response to the vision of God's holiness. Again, verse 5. Woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Remember, this was Peter's response when he realized the power and majesty of the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 5, verse 8, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. This is the place of realization that all of us must come to for salvation. We must come to the realization that God is holy and we are sinners and unclean and do not measure up to God's required holy standards. Holiness means morally perfect and pure and set apart from all sin. We must come to realize that we fall far short of God's holiness. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In verses 6 and 7 here in Isaiah 6, we have a wonderful picture of salvation. A burning coal is taken from the altar, and Isaiah's unclean lips are touched, and Isaiah is declared clean. His iniquity is taken away, and his sin is forgiven. What a great picture of salvation, isn't it? The altar of sacrifice here typifies the work of Christ on the cross. It's the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for our sins that is the basis of our salvation and the only basis on which a holy God can declare our iniquity taken away and our sins forgiven. Let me ask you this evening, have you come to realize the awesome holiness of God and your lost and sinful condition apart from Christ's sacrifice for you? Salvation should follow a realization of God's holiness. Doctrinal point number 2. Service should follow a realization of God's call. Service should follow a realization of God's call. Verses 8 through 10. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Here we have the call of Isaiah to ministry. Notice that his call to service follows salvation. The same is true today. Service should follow a realization of God's call. Every believer is called to serve the Lord in some way and in some place and in some capacity. Some Christians are called to full-time ministry. Some Christians are called to the foreign mission field. Some Christians are called to serve the Lord in secular employment. But all Christians are called to service. Service should follow a realization of God's call. In verses 9 and 10, we see that Isaiah was called to a ministry which was not going to be that pleasant. People were not going to listen to his sermons, and they were not going to return to the Lord. Now, Isaiah probably thought, when he responded to the Lord's call, that through his ministry, Israel would turn back to the Lord and renounce their idolatry and stop their immorality, and that there would be a sweeping revival and national cleansing. But it was not to be. Remember, the Lord quoted verses 9 and 10 of Isaiah chapter 6 when the disciples asked him why he spoke to the people in parables. I'm reading Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. Now the point is not that God hides truth so that people cannot believe, but rather that God hides the truth from people that will not believe. In verse 11, Isaiah asked the Lord how long he should continue this ministry. The Lord answered Isaiah in verses 11 through 13. Let's read those verses. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. The houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump. Isaiah was to continue proclaiming God's message until God's judgment fell on the rebellious nation. This took place when Jerusalem was destroyed and the nation was taken as captives into Babylon. That means that Isaiah had this unpleasant ministry his whole lifetime. Now the tenth part or tenth portion mentioned in verse 13 is either the poor people who were left in the land at the time of the captivity or the remnant that came back from the captivity. In either case, they would be subjected to further discipline, but out of that tenth part would come a godly remnant of Jews, called the Holy Seed here, who would be preserved, and this is true even to this day. So even though Isaiah's call was not to the most pleasant ministry, there was the promise of fruit in the future. Service should follow a realization of God's call. Now, what about practical application from Isaiah chapter 6? Have you told the Lord, here I am, send me? Have you told the Lord, here I am, send me? When Isaiah said, here I am, send me, he did not have any strings attached. He did not say, here I am, send me to Hawaii. Or here I am, send me to minister to the wealthy. Or here I am, send me to a large church where I will have a great and fruitful ministry. No, he essentially said, here I am, Lord, send me whenever and wherever and to whomever you choose. I have no strings attached. Well, what about us? Have you told the Lord, here am I, send me?